Well, is the big question of the morning, should Christians submit to government authority? Now, every single one of us in this room has probably an opinion to that question. And I've got an opinion to that question. And you know what? It really doesn't matter what my opinion is, because I'm a Christian and I want to place myself under the authority of God's word. And so today I'm just asking you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to keep your heart open regardless of what you hear that you don't like. Because there's a tendency within all of us that when there is something that is said that bristles us, ruffles us, makes us uneasy, doesn't fit our political paradigm, we immediately shut it off rather than allowing God to speak to us. Allow God today to speak to you. I want to welcome everyone at Vincennes and online, all of you here at Washington. It's going to be a good morning if you allow God to work within you today. There is an old story that Christian Herter, who is the previous governor of Massachusetts, used to tell about himself when he was running for re-election. He was hitting all these stump speeches and running around the state of Massachusetts, and of course, they would serve them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So from a long day of kissing babies and shaking hands, he had some lunch at a buffet-style event, and he went through the line. He was famished, and he got all of his fixings, but when it came to the main course, fried chicken, the lady put one piece of fried chicken on his plate, and he said, "Ma'am, listen, I've been campaigning all across the state. I am so tired. I'm so famished. Can I get another piece of chicken?" She said, "No, it's only one per person. We're not sure if we have enough." Well, that didn't sit well with him, so he pulled out his positional power that he had as governor. So he says to her, "Ma'am, do you know who I am? I am the governor of Massachusetts. Now give me another piece of chicken." I love her response. She said, "Sir, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of chicken. Move on." Now listen, we all hate it when we're asked to be under someone else's authority. We love it when we're in charge, but when we're asked to be under the charge of someone else, we bristle and we get rough about it. And it doesn't matter what the authority is. It could be the boss at work that asks you to do something that goes beyond your job description and you put up a fight about it. It could be the teacher that tells you to do an assignment that wasn't really on the syllabus to do, but they're asking you now to do it. It could be the volunteer from the church in the parking lot waving you to one lot and you decide, "They don't know what I know. I'm going where I want to go." We all want to buck authority. And if you don't know me very well, one thing I can tell you about my personal life is I don't like authority. There's enough rebelliousness in me to say, "Ain't going to do it. I'll do it my way." And I'll tell you a little truth about myself. You might find this truth to be evident in your life. I'm a great follower when there's a great leader. And I am a terrible follower when there's a terrible leader. And I'd say right now, the sign of our times, when it comes to our government, at least those in higher power, is there's so much miscommunication, so much bad information, so much unclear message that's being sent, that the reason why many of us do our own thing in this time is because maybe we just don't have the leadership that is needed at multiple different levels where it's needed. And friends, can I tell you something? Sometimes God gives you the candidate that you want. Sometimes he gives you the candidate you deserve. And the Apostle Paul, he lived out his faith with this great tension. People of history lived out this faith with great tension. It's not a dilemma that's new to us today. How should we respond as Christians to the governing authority? The Apostle Paul lived in a very hostile authoritarian government. Greater authority, greater hostility than what we know. The Roman government was intolerant to Christians. And then he lived under a secondary government. Can you imagine two governments? He had, because of his nationality, and he was a citizen of Rome, the Roman government rule of law, and because of his ethnicity, he was a Jew, he lived under the religious rule of law of the Jews, which was heavier than what you find in the Pentateuch in the early scriptures. The Apostle Paul found himself under this mix of government agencies, all these rules, all these regulations that Paul had to follow, very oppressive and intolerant to him. And then it got more troubling for him. When he became a Christian and he submitted himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ, that's when the dilemma of how he should respond to government really became a problem for him. How do you respond to government when they are oppressive, unjust, don't seem right? Look at Romans chapter 13, because here's what the Apostle Paul had said through the inspiration of God himself. So as we read these words, understand that Paul is in a very worse position than we are and that God is speaking through him to us today. Romans 13, page 920 in the Bible, that's in the chair rack in front of you. Follow along starting in verse 1. Here we go. "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities." I'd love if that said, "Let everyone but Matt be subject to the governing authorities," but it doesn't. says, everybody be subject to the governing authorities. Verse continues on, part B of that. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Boy, we have some wicked, unloving people that have been a part of government in our day. And the Bible just told me, what did it just tell me? That government has been established by God. Friends, there are things in life I don't understand. That's one of them. Verse 2, consequently, above whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Okay, guys, there's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot that don't sit right with me there in a personal opinion. But there are some fundamental truths I'm going to put myself under. Even though I don't understand fundamental truths, I'm going to put myself under. Number one fundamental truth that comes from Romans 13 is this. God is asking me, he's asking every believer to put ourselves under the authority of the government. Like, I have enough rebellion about me to say that's not going to happen, but now I have God telling me, Matt, it's not about you, it's about what I've instituted. And so whatever rule of law, not recommendation, whatever rule of law has been established, I'm being asked by my Lord to follow. And you're saying, well, why would that be? I think it goes to the second fundamental truth that you find in Romans, and that is all authority is established by God. And once you realize that God has given them the authority to put authority over you, then you recognize it's not really their authority, it's God's authority, and he's given it to them. And Christians, we believe that the ultimate authority is God himself. There isn't a government, a military, a business that can supersede God's absolute authority. But here's the deal. All authority is not perfect in this world, right? It is not just. It's broken because people are broken. And so politicians are going to be broken. Systems that people run are going to be broken. And while God gave them the establishment of power, it doesn't mean they'll use it correctly. Some are selfish and some are selfless. And the selfless ones lead to a stronger, greater nation, and the selfish ones lead to disunity and hurt and pain for a country. And they have the decision, just like you and I, to rebel against what God has entrusted to them, power, or to honor what God has entrusted to them and be a man or woman after God's own heart and lead the people, his creation, truthfully, honestly, lovingly, in kindness. Are you catching that? But regardless if they're good or bad, God gave them the authority. And if God in his great wisdom to disperse some of that authority to the government leaders, then I need to submit to them because God has given them that authority for whatever reason. And I can't understand it. Like, that's a question I'm going to have of heaven. Why did you give him or her that authority? Because they misused it. They abused the people. Guys, I know this is a difficult teaching. It's difficult for me to understand. Like, I had to figure out before I preached this message, Matt, will you do what this scripture is saying, or are you going to be a hypocrite and not practice what you preach? And I've recognized that God's ways are the better ways. Even if it bristles against my very core opinion, I will submit to God. I will submit to authority because God is my ultimate power. And God has decided for whatever reason to disperse that power to others. Even if I don't agree with their political leanings, even if I think they're unjust or wrong or broken, God says, would you please submit to them because I want you to submit to me and I gave it to them. That's crazy stuff. But let me tell you about the Apostle Paul. Right after he wrote the book of Romans, he was arrested. And he was thrown into prison unjustly. Unjustly, just for preaching Jesus Christ. And in that prison, I think what God was teaching Paul was, are you going to practice what you just preached? Are you going to become a hypocrite and rebel against the system? Or are you going to live under the rule of law, even though it's broken, even though it's unjust, even though it's painful to your life right now? How are you going to respond, Paul? And I think that's a question that's for all of us. How are you going to respond to this message? Because if you get back into Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, you'll find out what the reasoning behind all this is. Why we should submit to government, not just because it's God's power that's instilled to them, also so that we don't make ripples for our own life and hurt our witness. Catch this. You find greater peace when you strive for peace. Right? You find greater peace when you strive for peace with your neighbor, greater peace when you strive to peace with your government. And if we would just do what they ask us to do under the rule of law, as long as it's not restricting our faith and living out our faith, guys, the Bible teaches us we'll probably stay under the radar. You'll have a good life. You'll have a peaceful life. You'll probably have a prosperous life. And some of us are creating unnecessary problems for ourselves when we're trying to buck the system and we're trying to do it under religious freedoms. And we're tarnishing our witness. And we're causing problems for ourselves. And we're becoming on the radar of a government that could be corrupt or overly burdensome to our life. And so Paul, through the inspiration of Scripture, is saying, don't cause ripples when you don't need to cause ripples. Just do what they're telling you to do and get through this life. Just like how I experienced high school. My parents told me, Matt, just do it for 4 years and then you'll be done with it. It's almost like God's telling Paul, this world is not your home. It's a temporary place, not eternal. So quit acting like it's eternal and get through it like it's temporal. Love on me, honor me, and when the government asks you to do something that is contradictory to your faith, refer back to me, not to them. But besides that, you're under their rule. Guys, is there anywhere in this world where you can go where you're not under the rule of law? You tell me. Anywhere you can go. You can go buy yourself a private island, but you're still under the rule of law of that territory, aren't you? There is nowhere you can go to escape from some kind of government authority in your life. And that's ultimately what Paul is saying here. Don't cause unnecessary problems because you'll always be under someone else's authority. And instead of rebelling against government, let's do what the Apostle Paul instructed a young man named Timothy to do. Paul's in prison, unjustly. In a broken government, corrupted government. And you know what he tells them? Hey, let's rebel. Let's protest. Let's sign petitions. Let's create a beat in their bonnet. No, he says, let's pray. Let's pray for our government leaders. And guys, my question to you is, when's the last time you prayed for government, really, even with ones that you don't agree with? Here's what Paul says to Timothy. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all the people, for kings, and all those in authority. Do you hear what Paul is saying? Petitions, prayers, intercession, you know what that means to me? Pray a lot. Pray heavy. Get deep. Don't just flippantly say, Lord, bless our president, bless our senators, bless our congress people, bless our local officials. No, get deep. Why? Because that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. And that's what it comes down to. That's what that comes down to. Do you want your witness tarnished because of some political belief system that is temporal? Or do you want to stay under the radar and be able to go and allow yourself to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without hindrance and go overseas to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without hindrance and not be the nuisance of the community, the nuisance of the neighborhood? We want all people to be saved, don't you? And I don't want my political ideology to keep someone from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And I don't want to create ripples in our government so that constantly I'm known as the troublemaker, not as the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. As a leader, I can't tell you how hard it is to lead right now. I can't even define it for you. In 20 years of church leadership, I have never been faced with the craziness of leading right now in these times. If that is a challenge for me, it is a challenge for our political leaders as well. Who do you trust? Whose scientific findings are you going to trust on this virus stuff? It's crazy, right? Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. And instead of arguing, instead of complaining, you know what we should do? Take the advice of the Apostle Paul. Let's start praying. Why don't we do that? Will you bow with me and let me lead you in prayer? Father God, we come to you today, and we're thankful for you caring for us and protecting us. And Father, you've given authority to leaders to protect and guide us, and we don't understand them. We don't always agree with them. But Father, we're asking you give them a ton of wisdom. Father, we're asking that they turn, if they have a hard heart of you, that they turn to you and they give their life over to you and they're changed, heart, soul, mind, and strength, that there's a revolution in their life. I pray, Father, that they'll listen to you, the truth, and they'll only speak the truth and tell the truth. especially about this virus and this pandemic and all the ways that we should handle it. May there only be truth being spoken from their mouths. Father, I pray that they receive your son, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their life. And Father, in those moments where they don't know what to do, please send Christian people beside them to give them advisement and counsel. And they'll lean on you rather than their own political opinions. Father, for spiritual leaders right now, I pray that we will go the extra mile, we'll turn the other cheek, and we'll lead people to a place, even though it's unpopular, we'll lead people to a place, believers to a place, where they will surrender to you first and make it their goal to preach Jesus more than to preach their politics. And Father, I pray for those that are working in the medical field right now, those who are leading the charge, trying to solve the pandemic stuff and get a vaccine for that, whatever they're trying. Father, I pray that we just get a handle on this. And you give them discernment and wisdom and strength and safety. Guard them. Our local leaders, our mayor and our city council people and our school officials that are trying to figure this stuff out right now. Bless them with wisdom and discernment. I pray that Christian people will love on them and recognize how hard it is right now. And bless us, help us in this time where we are trying to make sense of all of this as we live in the gray of life, where it's not really black or white. Father, may we have absolute truth that is tucked away in your scriptures, and may that define our lives more than opinions. And we pray in Jesus' name, and we say together, amen. Okay, listen, I probably know more than anybody, and this is a tough subject to preach on. And I know it's a tough subject to hear. I get it. I totally understand that. That what has just been said to you, God has the authority. He's given his authority to man, and it doesn't matter if they're unjust or not. We're to put ourselves under that authority as long as it doesn't hurt our faith. But can I tell you why we should do this? Not just because we've been commanded, because Jesus Christ himself showed us the example. There's two occasions where Jesus says, I will submit to the governing authorities. Can you imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords saying, I will submit myself to the authority that ultimately my dad gave to you? That was the humility of Jesus. There's one such occasion where he's asked to pay a temple tax. That's because there's a religious government that is there on him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, Peter is confronted about paying a temple tax, and it says it like this in Matthew chapter 17. Does your teacher pay the temple tax, asked Peter? Yes, he does. And after they had returned home, Jesus went up to Peter and said and asked him, Simon, what do you think? Do the kings of this earth collect taxes and fees from their own people or from foreigners? What Jesus was saying is, you know that what they're asking us to do isn't right. We're locals. We're not foreigners. They should not be making us pay this tax. It's even in their own rules of law that we should not pay this tax. Peter, you know what's being asked of us is unjust and wrong. It's corrupt. Peter says, from foreigners. I know that. I know that what's being asked is wrong. Jesus replied, then their own people don't have to pay. Jesus is saying, we're one of them. We're Jews. But, check this. Let's go protest. Nope. Let's go petition. Nope. Let's go make ripples. Nope. But we don't want to cause trouble. So go cast a line into the lake and pull out the first fish you hook, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin. Use it to pay your taxes and mine. And I don't know. God has never called me to deep sea fish just yet and pull up some big marlin that spits out everything I owe for the year for federal and state taxes, but I wish he would. But what Jesus is saying is I submitted to the local authorities, even though they were unjust. I did what they asked me to do. It wasn't hindering my faith. It wasn't hindering my belief. It wasn't hindering my religious freedoms. It was wrong, though, but I don't want to cause trouble. Whew. How does that sit with you? Doesn't sit good with me, I'll tell you that. But if that's the way my Savior handled it, the King of Kings, of Lord of Lords, little old lowly Matt can do the same. Here's the second example that's found in Matthew chapter 22. This is from the taxes that were collected by the federal government of his time called Rome, a very oppressive and intolerant government towards Christians. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. Oh boy, if this isn't a setup. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You're such a good guy, Jesus. Now tell us, what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And it does say that Jesus figured out they're trying to test him. And so Jesus says, show me one of the coins that we're to pay our taxes with. Show me a Roman coin. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Lincoln, Jefferson, Washington, Grant. Well, then he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render to Caesar what belongs, and give to God what belongs to God. And what Jesus is ultimately saying is, there are some things in life that belong to the state, and you need to give those things up when asked by the state. It didn't say that Jesus says, oh, I believe too that Caesar, whose imprint is on that coin, is God, because that's what the Romans believed. No. He didn't agree with their political system. He didn't believe what their ideology was saying. He wasn't aligning himself with a corrupt system. He's saying there are some things in life that belong to the state, and if we're going to live under the state system, we're going to have to do what the state asks us to say, meaning this is their playing field. We're going to have to play by their rules. It doesn't matter where you want to go, right? So you hear it every election. I didn't like the results of the election, so I'm moving out of country. Guess what? You're going to play by their rules. You're always going to play by someone's rules. It's true. Business owners, it's true, isn't it? Oh, you know that you have to play by the rules. Permitted or licensed by the state. If you don't, what happens? They will take your permit or license. Why? Because you have to pay by their rules. People who have a driver's license in this room and listening, you have to play by the rules, don't you? Because it is a privilege to drive. I've been told that twice this year already. It's a privilege. And if we want that privilege, we have to be licensed by our government to enjoy that privilege. And if we decide not to be licensed, what happens? We lose that privilege. When you live in a state, you have to play by the state's rules. You know, there are some guidelines to this, I suppose. I think that the way we look at it here at this church is we don't want to cause trouble. I really do sometimes. But I'm told not to cause trouble. And I have to remember how Jesus handled this. So like when churches were asked in February that under a certain amount, listen, you got to kind of disband and go home and not engage in being the church, the ecclesia, the fabric of faith, the people of God under one roof. Go home and wait this thing out in the fog, in the bleakness, in the gray of that moment. The leaders of the church decided, okay, this is not the rule of law. We could have had church. You know that, right? We could have had church. And I don't think the stormtroopers would have come in here and got us. They probably would have been on our side. They probably would have defended us. But we, in that moment, had no clue what this pandemic was doing. We had no idea the spread of it. We had no idea the numbers. Still, people don't. And we decided in that moment, you know what? It just would not be responsible of us to meet. But no one forced us to close our doors. We did that on our own. You recognize that? And it was because of the grocery responsibility it might cost, but it was also because we didn't want to tarnish the name of Jesus in that moment. Now listen, I'm going to say this off the cuff. My elders don't know I'm going to say this. So I might get myself into trouble. I don't care, really honest. We're never going to do that again. Amen. We recognize the spiritual importance and need of faith in times of crisis. And I think it wounded us more by being shuttered up rather than having the engagement of faith amongst people. All right, we have an elders meeting next Tuesday. I'll tell you how it goes. And I think one of the ways that we get into trouble is this. We get into trouble when we try to hold dual citizenship as a Christian. We try to have a citizenship of earth and a citizenship of heaven. And that's impossible. Jesus puts it like this when it comes to money. You can serve God or you can serve money, but you can't serve both. And the same is true. You can serve Christ or you can serve country. You're saying, no, I can have allegiance to both. No, you can't, because sooner or later, that country is going to ask or demand your allegiance that conflicts your faith. And then you're going to have to decide at the why in the road. Next week, we have a phenomenal Christian speaker coming in, preacher from Southeast Christian Church named Dave Stone. He's a friend of mine. He's going to speak on standing up for faith. in a hostile world. Many Christians don't find their identity in Jesus anymore. We find our identity in politics. And that spills into the church. And we our political views are sacred, perhaps in this sacredness of Scripture. And we say, God, that's good and all, but I don't agree with it. As a matter of fact, I was just told something like that after first service. Good sermon, I don't agree with it. And I wanted to say, your battle's not with me. Your battle's with God. Your battle's not even with the Apostle Paul. Your battle's with God. He wrote it. God wrote it. See, here's the problem that we face right now. As believers, we're citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth. Philippians 3:20 says it like this: our citizenship is in heaven, as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our alliance is with the God of heaven. Do you see where our alliance is? It's with the God. It's not a political party. It's not an ideology. Where is it? It's with heaven. Our ideology should align with that of God. And so here's, as citizens of heaven, we recognize, number one, that heaven's the ultimate authority. So what do you do? What do you do when the citizen of heaven, how do you live as a citizen of heaven when the earthly authorities contradict the principles of your faith? I'll tell you what you do. You lean hard on God and say, God, God's authority matters most, even above your authority. Just like Acts chapter 5 says, we will obey God rather than man. Let me explain this to you in how China is working right now with Christians. You know, it's not legal to practice Christianity in the communist state of China, and you're to claim your allegiance to the communist state. But the BBC just announced that there are more Christians than communists in China. That means that there are probably 500 million Christians in China, but they don't have a church, but they're meeting secretly, and it's against the law to meet. And you know what they decided? We will obey God rather than man. Why? Because the state's rules and God's rules didn't align. And as believers, they say, God trumps the state every single time. We must obey God rather than man. You see this played throughout the scriptures. Like, so let me give you some guidelines. When it's permitted to rebel against authority, number one, when you're forced to live or act in a way that conflicts God's word, conflicts your faith. Moses stayed alive. Why? Because during the time of his birth, all children, Hebrew children, were to be killed immediately after birth. And his parents hid the pregnancy, hid his birth, put him in a basket, floated him down the river, and God spared his life so that God could save his people through Moses, who was drawn out of the water. They bucked the system. How about Rahab, who was a prostitute in the city of Jericho? Her allegiance was to Jericho, that city, until she found men of God who were coming in to take that city over. And they had said, this city will fall because of God's mighty hand. This is God's property. And she left her allegiance with Jericho and gave her allegiance over to God. And she was the only one who was spared when those walls came miraculously down. How about the disciples in Acts chapter 4 and 5? When they're arrested for preaching the basic message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, they're locked up into prison. And that's when they said, we must obey God rather than man. We will not stop preaching God, even though it is illegal to us. Friends, when we're asked to live or act in a way that is in conflict with our faith, God's law, God's rule, God's authority always trumps any human authority. You always submit to God before you submit to the governing authority. You always place and elevate God's word up higher than the Constitution, than the laws of man, than the amendments. God's word trumps all. As citizens of heaven, you recognize God in heaven has the ultimate authority. As citizens of heaven, you live differently than the citizens of earth. Did you catch that? Our standard of living as Christians should be much higher. They shouldn't just know we're Christians by our love. They should know that we're Christians by the way we live. Listen how 1 Peter puts it. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Notice the language he applies to believers. You don't fit in here, and you should feel like you don't. Man, I'll tell you what, more than ever right now, I feel like I don't fit. You know, often I've prayed this prayer now, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. Like, just can we get in the escape pod and get out of here, Lord? Come and get us. Because it feels like I don't fit. My opinions don't match the opinions of this world, I'll tell you that. My thoughts don't match the thoughts of this world. My beliefs aren't matching the beliefs of this world. I feel like a foreigner in exile, and he says to abstain from sinful desires. Don't match the world's practices, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. They ain't causing trouble in this society. They're actually the people that are causing the least. Why? Because we have a heavenly standard, not a higher standard. We don't have secular morality. We have a standard that's from heaven itself. We have an absolute morality. The ways that Christians are asked to live are much higher than the earthly standards that governments ask us to live. Not just murder, right? We know it's wrong to murder in this society. What does Jesus say? Don't even murder in your heart. Don't even hate someone. Oh, that's a higher standard. Hey, everyone in society, well, not everyone, but most in society accept that adultery is wrong, don't they? And Jesus says, no, it's not just about the act of adultery. How about let's not lust after someone in our heart? That's a higher standard, isn't it? And Jesus keeps on saying, I'm going to bring the standard high so that you can live it out. And with the power of Jesus Christ in you, with the power of God's Spirit within you, you can live this out and you can be different. But you'll have to feel like a foreigner or an exile. That's the way it's going to work. And here's the last part of being a citizen in heaven. You put your hope in God and not in government. And this is what I think is foundationally a mistake that's made by too many Christians. We have our hope in a politician. We have our hope in a system. We have a hope in maybe an ideology of a way a country should roll. And friends, I'm here to bring you the difficult truth that I've had to wrestle with. Government is limited. Government is not perfect. Government and systems are broken and will be broken. And government is temporal, not eternal. And the United States is a temporal country, not an eternal one. And all you have to do is go back to the context of Paul and the context of Jesus, who lived under probably the greatest empire the world has ever seen, the Roman Empire. They believed Caesar himself was God himself. They had more power and control over the world than any other nation ever seen, any other empire ever founded. And friend, there is no Rome today. I have been to Italy and have seen the ruins of Rome. And they are just that, ruins. And these prominent places that they thought were going to last forever have been destroyed. Nations, political ideologies, politicians, systems of government are not eternal. Do not put your hope in them. Put your hope in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who is eternal. And when your citizenship is found in heaven, you're part of a kingdom that is eternal, that will never be broken, that is never unjust, that is never putting you in a position to compromise your morals, is always looking out for your best interest of protection. And so welcome Christ into your life. Be clothed in Christ. As Galatians says it like this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You become a part of God's family when you're in Christ. Now, how do you get into God's family? You got to be born into God's family. Well, none of us were born into God's family, so we need to be baptized or born again into God's family. That's John 3 stuff. Baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ. We become part of God's family when we're born again. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And ultimately, what Galatians is getting at is there are labels in life that have separated us, that we've allowed ourselves to be separated by. You know, labels like American, Mexican, Republican, Democrat, citizen, immigrant, black, white, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Hoosier, or Boilermaker. Yeah, that's probably the biggest chasm there is. Rich, poor, blue collar, white collar, young, old, single, married, doctorate, dropout, CEO, intern, insider, outsider, you name it. We have all these divisions because we have all these labels. But when you find your identity is in Jesus Christ and you are a part of God's family and you are born again, what happens? We all become one in Christ, and all there is brother and sister, because we are all sinners who are in need of a Savior and have been saved by that mighty, powerful Savior. And He is our King of kings, and He is our Lord of lords, and we will only bow to Him. Amen and amen.